Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD Podcast, where we interview local San Diego business leaders who are leading beyond profit and making a significant impact on the communities and businesses they lead. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, where we help companies unlock their greatest potential through a unique strategic planning process and project implementation. I want to give a shout out to the community business organization to support the podcast, the BBB, Conscious Capitalism San Diego, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're now on YouTube, so please follow, subscribe, and make a comment so we can build this community of purposeful leaders. Enjoy the show.
I'm very excited to have a recent winner of the prestigious Better Business Bureau's Torch Awards for Ethics on the show today. Scott Lawn, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Scott is the owner of Greenway Landscape Design and Build. In 2025, Greenway won just about every award possible here in San Diego. I mean, I can go through them, we got like 15 of them, but of course, the BBB Torch Awards is the big one, right? So,
big one.
What are you going to do in 2026? That's a big question, Scott.
I don't know.
That's a problem when you win everything. So maybe give us a little backstory. You've been at this for like 33 years?
33.
Maybe tell us a little bit about what's Greenway do? What's the work you guys do?
Sure. Greenway is a landscape design, build, and installation company for landscape. And so what we do is we talk with clients, help them decide exactly what it is they want to do with their landscape, then do the design, then we do the planning, then we do the building. And so the objective is to give someone a wonderful outdoor space that they can gather with their friends, family. It's kind of cliche, but to build memories. And that's sincere. We really feel that way. The entire team is most excited about putting together a project and then seeing it completed and then the looks on the clients' faces as they actually use it with their family.
Now, do you do ongoing maintenance of the properties or is it purely the install and get them up and get them going?
Yeah, we do not do install in the traditional sense. We design, build, and install landscapes of all different sizes. From a maintenance standpoint, we do two things. We have an irrigation department, which can come and fix irrigation, upgrade irrigation, and that would be considered in the maintenance realm. The other aspect is, and that's rolling out in a big way in 2026, and it's called our soil health division.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Exactly. for many years, and when I started the company originally, we were a landscape aeration company doing lawn aerations, which is basically punching holes into the lawn.
They think to make your lawn look really bad to make it look better later.
Exactly. And it does wonderful things for the lawn. And so for many years, I've been trying to develop a liquid aeration version and soil health development. And I have. I've worked on it for the last 5 years very heartily with actually agricultural soil health scientists all around the country.
That sounds like fun.
It is. They're, you know, I'm a mini soil nerd.
you heard it here first. Once again,
I don't know if I should be proud of that or not, but I am. And so I always want to try and strive to do better for our clients and better for the environment. And one of the things that we have the problem with here in San Diego is water. Water costs a lot. It's a precious resource, and it's just a difficult problem. We've been asked by the state many times, the city and the county, to reduce water and reduce water and reduce water. Well, there's only so much reducing water that until we get back to a 100% desert environment again, and that's not always the most desirable for a home landscape. So one of the things that we've been trying to develop is this soil health where we can decompact the soil, allow for roots to expand, provide a water retention technology that not only acts as a surfactant, I know it's kind of getting technical now, but it allows the water to soak down into the soil immediately and not run off. And then in addition to that, hold the water in a suspended retention at the root zone. So all that does is basically the liquid aeration breaks up the soil like a manual core aeration does to allow for water and nutrients and air to get down easier to
so
the root
like
zone.
So it's like a softening process.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Then the water retention and water surfactant allows for the water to soak in right where it is rather than run off and go down our storm drains and waste water. And then the water retention technology holds that water in suspension at the root zone. So we're able to reduce water usage in this program by 50%.
Wow.
Not 10%.
That's impressive.
But 50%. And it does it, if you think about it logically, if we can do that, break up the soil, hold the water, get the water to go down where it is, and then stay where it is, you don't have to water as often or as much. So we can reduce that water because we're getting the water to go where we want it to go.
Well, that sounds really exciting. Patent pending on this? Or
Well, no, it's actually a combination. So it's a formula that we designed for Southern California and our soils here.
Specifically for here, okay.
Specifically for here. The technology has actually been around and is used in agriculture in probably all 50 states.
Oh, so this is not new.
It's the application and the combination. Mm. And really, it wasn't as much for profit as it was to try and facilitate for all of us to be able to have beautiful landscapes and not being able to have to stop doing that.
Help the environment at the same time. Yeah,
you bet.
A golf courses could use that. I'm always amazed by all the water we spend in golf. We go to Arizona or something. What the heck, right?
They do. Most of our golf courses here in Southern California and Arizona
reclaim
as well.
Water.
Some of them use reclaimed water, but most of them are using well water now.
Oh, okay.
Almost all of the North County golf courses have installed wells for a number of years. I have a little bit of expertise in that, too. I drilled a well up in Rancho Bernardo to save a park a few years ago.
We'll get into that story later.
Yeah.
I love it.
Story for another time.
So other than the fact that your last name is Lawn, and here you are in the business, what's the backstory, Scott? How did you land here?
You're right. That's ironic, isn't it?
No one's ever pointed that out to you before?
I've never heard that before. The first probably 5 years I was in business, I had to pull my driver's license out of my pocket more times than I can ever imagine to prove to people that my real last name was Lawn. And so it's just
like old school, right? Where your name had tied into what your career was, right?
Exactly.
Being a blacksmith or whatever.
There's been a number of articles, even some national ones, where they included my unusual name because I was at the time primarily in a lawn aeration business, so named Lawn.
I love it.
But I was never the winner of that. The best one I ever heard was I was in an article, and it was an attorney from New York, and his name was Sue Yu. So I thought that was the best one ever. So to answer your question, how did I get into this business with an unusual last name? I've had many careers. I'm a super senior citizen, and in a previous career, I was a business broker, and a business broker is pretty much like a realtor that sells houses. I would help people buy and sell small businesses. So I was, I guess, a de facto expert in that area. I learned a lot, got to look at the books and records of thousands of San Diego businesses and acquired an expertise there. So I, in my wisdom, thought I would buy some of the small businesses that came across my desk, use my marketing skills.
I could do this too, right?
And actually turn them around and resell them for a profit. And so 33 years ago.
Kind of like the private equity model or something, right?
Exactly.
We'll buy these things up. We'll put a little management in them and make a fortune.
Absolutely. Way before private equity was even conceived as a – I mean, they're vultures now. Sorry about that, guys, if you're out there.
I'm with you.
So I did. So I purchased a little one-man family company called Greenway Lawn Aeration. And my intention was to use my skill, learn a little bit about it, mark it up and sell it and move on. Do it again and again and again. And that was 33 years ago. I thought, well, you know, I better learn something about this if I'm going to, you know, do this. So I invested myself in the business, learned the business, did the business, and I liked it. It was fun. And we did good stuff, and people's lawns looked better. And I thought to myself, maybe I should do this. And so that was 33 years ago. No regrets, and we've grown quite a bit since then.
How many folks you got on your team now?
We've got 15 full-time employees, and then we also have additional partners in the subcontracting arena that come in. So we can call upon as many as 60 or 70.
So you can pull a pretty large team together as needed.
Exactly.
But you don't have all those folks on the payroll. So.
No, not all at any given time. It's grown into a great business. And my son, Alex, was born the week I bought the business 33 years ago. And so he just had his 33rd birthday.
So that's how you can track it, right?
Exactly. And so he came in and became a business partner with me back in 2011.
Nice.
And that's maybe the most wonderful and rewarding thing that's happened to me is I get to work with my best friend and my son every day with a fabulous team at Greenway.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that a little bit because that's always a challenge, like, you know, bringing family together. And how do you run a family-owned business? And it offers certain challenges. I'm sure he's got certain views of how things work versus what dad thinks.
Absolutely. Generations apart, right?
We need technology, Dad. Well, we're going to change how we water the lawns. That's how we change the technology right here. Yeah,
absolutely. I hear that almost every day.
So over 33 years, you must have some stories good for our audience of, like, it wasn't always kumbaya. I'm sure you had some challenges. Maybe you got some great story of, like, we weren't sure if we're going down the path that this is going to survive. We were able to turn this thing around. Anything to share there,
Scott? Oh, sure. Well, I mean, lots of them. I mean, probably a thousand.
More than we really want to have, right?
Thousands of them. In the lawn aeration area, we were able to develop well over 20,000 residential customers here in San Diego. So
that was ongoing.
Ongoing.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
and it's you know, it sounds like a lot, but from a revenue standpoint, it's modest in that it's a twice a year type of a service, and now we're doing four times with our liquid aeration plan. But it's a low dollar investment for a client, but high yield. And so yeah, we've turned around thousands of landscapes and lawns by just nurturing them. A lot of it is using water technology. It's been on the rise for the last 5 or 6 years. I would say it's dramatic in the amount of water that can be saved by simply using the right products. And there's drip irrigation. Everybody's heard of it, but there's good drip and there's bad drip and there's effective drip, but it works. And if you don't have a need for overhead spray, and the plant is just getting water to the root, you need to do drip irrigation.
Because most of it's evaporating, right?
Totally. Yeah. Just, if you've ever driven down the street and you see this kind of mist going down, you think, what are these people doing? Or even worse, draining into the storm drains.
That's what I see.
And you're thinking, what are we thinking here? And so I've been on a campaign about that for years, which is why my soil health division kind of came about. I was just annoyed that we were, from a governmental standpoint, we were looking to stop watering rather than to use technology to enhance our watering. Anyway, just a different philosophy. And sometimes I go head to head with some of the government officials on what's easier versus what's right. But
right. Yeah. That's always the big challenge.
Yeah. That's the deal.
Well, obviously, a lot of attention is getting put to this now due to the cost of water and the availability of water. And I mean, as a society, we need to look at this and be serious about what we're doing.
Absolutely. Here. I mean, the water cost is on a rise between now and 2029 of 50% from what it is right now. It's already ridiculous.
Right. And then where does it go from there, right?
Exactly. And I mean, I should hope that we'll employ
more technology, better.
More technology. One of the things, we had a supervisor, county supervisor, David Roberts, great guy. He was behind this. Unfortunately, he's not a supervisor any longer. He's moved out of San Diego and back to the East Coast. But he was behind this 100% in trying to get some legislation to utilize and require an idea I came up with probably 10 years ago, but it seemed to have landed on deaf ears. And that is that when we sell a home in California, you're required to do a number of things. Make sure that the toilet is low flow so it saves water. Strap down water heaters. There's a number of things that have to be done to be able to execute the sale of a house in California. My thought was why not make it mandatory at that point to employ water-saving technology, MPR stream rotor heads, drip irrigation, smart clocks, temperature and weather control. All of those are available to us and have been really state-of-the-art for the last 5 years, but they're not mandated. And I think that would be a logical way to approach the water solution.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's one of those transition points where everyone go, okay, this is a part of what we do for business, but also opportunity to stop and upgrade what we've been doing. Maybe this house has been here for 30 years, right? And it's time to fix a few things.
Exactly. And just like it is with other things that are required during the sale of a house, that's the time to do it because it can be placed into the without
the cost can kind of get
the cost can get kind of spread around.
Right, exactly. Well, it feels so painful. Somebody showed up, oh, you got to go fix this thing, right? It's like, okay, it's just part of the transaction.
Exactly.
You spend these millions of dollars, what's a few more bucks, right?
I know. I mean,
So let's talk about the family business. Yeah. So I love the fact you said, you know, his son was born, so you can track the years pretty easily. Same thing.
Absolutely.
When I got married, we on our way home from our honeymoon, we picked up our dog. So my dog's birthday is at the same, your son. So my wife said, "Oh, the dog's 14. Oh, guess what? We've been married 14 years.
There you go. So I may avoid the comparison of my son and the dog, but I understand the concept.
Yeah, right. Just tying it to something that keeps us.
I'm just kidding with you.
I mean, obviously, growing up through the life, you know, as a kid and everything else, was he out working with you from the very beginning? Was it the summer job?
Absolutely. I have this cool composite of photos of him following me around. I was a single father, spending most of the time with Alex. He spent with me. So we got through a lot of the controversies during our growing up period,
okay.
Which makes it a lot different than a lot of people bringing their family members into a business. We knew each other well and liked each other already. So it was a great combination for a partnership. But he grew up. I have photos of him on this composite photo in my office. My favorite one, I show it to everybody who comes by. From him with a little plastic lawnmower following me around aerating lawns when he was 3. And subsequently then following through and actually working with the crews, doing lawn care, doing irrigation, accidentally learning the business from the ground up. And so all through high school, he chose to work. During grade school, he worked. He wanted to earn money and he wanted to learn the business, and he's done such a great job.
Did you pay a fair wage, Dad, or was it child labor?
Probably overly fair. He was able to finance his own car when he turned 16
The
money that he had saved. So yeah, he's an industrious gentleman.
So what point did you decide to become partners in the program?
Well, I had, as many, I travel around to a lot of national conferences and speak with a number of people around the country. And family businesses are difficult. There are all sorts of problems that aren't anticipated. There's bickering. And
well, you know that from the business brokerage piece, too.
Absolutely. And so I was well aware of all of the potential pitfalls that might befall us. And so when he was preparing to go on from his high school days, I really wanted him to go on to college, get a solid background, whether it was in our industry or another. And he just absolutely wanted to come into the business. Mm. He loved the Greenway environment. He loved the culture that we have. He loved our employees. And he just wanted to be part of it. He was taking no for an answer, not even maybe he was coming into the business. So we agreed that that would happen, but that he would need to get specialized knowledge. So he went on, he has 5 certifications in irrigation technology. So he's a bona fide expert in irrigation technology for Southern California.
In front of your house at dinner, huh?
Oh yeah, exactly. and he just really took the classes, learned the business, and then buckled down with some of our project managers and became what I would consider a solid leader. And I'm really proud of him. I don't know if you can tell that or not.
No, as you should be, yeah.
And so, that part's worked out really, really well. But he did follow all the way through from the time he was 3 all the way time till the time he came in full time. And then now full time business partner.
So now, how do you guys divvy up the work? I mean, there's always some things that, you're really good at, some things maybe we shouldn't be doing, some things like, okay, I do this because I have to do this. And
sure.
And you have some partnership where there's complementary. Has it kind of worked out that way for you guys?
It really has. And we have great team members. We have a great office facilitators as well in our office for the back office. Having been in business, for over 50 years in different businesses myself, I've learned that there's certain things I like to do and certain things you don't like to do, and a lot of things you just got to do.
Exactly.
And so I've become good at doing everything that I have to do, and I love working with clients. I love.
Is that your sweet spot?
That's my sweet spot. My face to face with clients is clearly my favorite thing. I would rather go and talk about their landscape and how to enhance their life more than anything else. And that's also Alex's skill. And so, and probably because he followed me around on sales calls and conversations and consultations all those years, and that's his sweet spot. And he's awesome at it. He's very engaging. The part that I think that impresses me most about Alex is he really does care about getting it right and not maybe getting it right or shuffling it out. And so it's not unusual for him to go for an hour appointment and 2.5 hours later, they're still chatting it up because he enjoys the process. And so do I. And so that's clearly what we like to do. But being able to allow him that expansion has been great. So he does more selling than I do now. I do a lot of follow-up and consulting with him and then with clients during and after the process.
Yeah, but I think in small businesses, that is so important. I think pretty much any time I talk to someone who's got a small business, they're a salesperson. I mean, they're a good salesperson. Right. They got a lot of passion about what they do.
You bet.
They're about customer service. You know, I mean, you can't do that part. If you can't sell,
right,
you know, the rest, you'd be the most amazing lawn landscaper. But if you can't connect with the client, you're not going to get the client.
Right. And you certainly don't grow and you don't get the jobs that you'd like to do.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the business, the culture, the BBB Torch Awards.
Sure.
Talk about the culture of the business.
Well, I think it's really a kind of cliche, and we even use this when we do interviewing for people. We have a set of core values, and the primary core value that the others all come from is we do the right thing. And it's one of those that could be an eye roller if you don't get it, and it can be like...
Yeah, sure, of course you do, right?
Right. Yeah. And it can be like, well, that's what I want to hear. That's the kind of thing I'd like to be involved with. And it comes out pretty much when we do an interview for new people. If you get that, thing, well, that's probably not going to be a good fit because we don't just say it. We really live it. One of the things that I even spoke about during the Torch Award situation was that doing the right thing is our core value and our culture. We don't just say it. We empower everybody who works with us to have the ability to do the right thing every time. They don't have to come and ask me. They don't have to call Scott or Alex and say, you know, what do you think? Should I do the right thing? No, do the right thing. I mean, if it costs us money, that's just part of the deal because you got to do the right thing. And so we live that every day. And every one of our employees are empowered with that. And I think that makes me the most proud because they get it. And they want to do the right thing, and such we satisfy clients. It's one of those, I have a little cliche that I say sometimes, is that solutions never excuses. And that's really what it's all about. So if we make a mistake, and Lord knows we all do, if we mess up, we make it right.
Whatever. So share a story.
Well,
kind of one of those proud moments, maybe especially where the your employees actually did the right thing.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, so unbelievable many. I hadn't even thought that through. I think one that I did tell to the BBB as well is we had a client out in North County that had an issue with some glass damage, and it was pretty straightforward. We were there to do paver installation and a complete remodel of their backyard. And so when you're doing pavers, you cut them with a saw and you fit them in, and there is the possibility that pieces of paver could be dislodged and could cause some damage. So we prepare by protecting windows and doors and things like that in advance so that we don't have that issue. We were there during about a 4-week period. And during that period, the clients had come in and decided to have a power washer come and power wash some of the areas that we weren't working on, but near our work area. And power washing, when you hit it with the powerful water, kind of acts like a sandblaster if there's any dislodged material, which can then, of course, hit a window or hit a surface and damage it. So there was damage found when they returned home. And we had a glass person come out just to try to determine what exactly happened. And they were pretty sure that it was related to the power washing, and it seemed logical that it was, but they couldn't determine for sure. So our guys were all out there involved and saying, boy, we protected everything. I said, I understand, but the client needs to be satisfied. There's window damage. We were here. They were here. Maybe we can share this responsibility. The power washing company said,
what?
I'm out of here.
See ya.
See ya. And so I was going, okay, well, that seems fair. So we stood up and we said, okay, you know, what's it going to take? Let's fix it. So we had a lot of restoration that had to be done. It was wildly expensive. A small car for what it cost, and we paid the bill.
It was the profit on that project.
Right, exactly. and the client was very satisfied, and again, it was the right thing to do.
All right.
So we did that, and small versions of that happen every day. A tile damage, a nick on the fence.
Own up to things, yeah.
It's just owning up to it. We have taken one precautionary measure that's kind of cool, is that if there is a damage, let's say the fence got nicked, but we didn't know if we nicked it or not, we fixed the fence. So now what we've done is there's this cool technology. It's called a 360 camera. I don't know if you've seen them or not. They're really cool. They go up on a little photo stick, and it literally takes a 360-degree You can zoom in on a big screen. You can see down to the minute detail of a spot on the wall as you walk the entire property. So we do it before we begin. So if there is a piece of damage that now, and I know it's not with malice. I know it's happened to me too. You don't always notice stuff.
You start paying attention to it.
Until you notice stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the client might say, you know, I see there's a damage on this fence door. I don't know. Was it there? They don't know whether it was there. But if we have a 360 camera, we're going to know if it was there or not. So it makes it a little easier to validate doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And so that's something we started employing. It also helps with job walks and things like that.
Well, it is a challenge. About 15 hours a week for a nonprofit. I work for their social enterprise. So I have a team of folks that go out and do cleaning in the streets and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always like going, this is a trust factor, right? I go, the ideal day is where I just come to the truck, get you all set up and send you out there. And then I don't have to be with you.
Yes.
Because I trust you, right? I'm always trying to use that word. I trust you to go do the things you're supposed to do out there.
Right.
But I'm not watching you. You're going to still do what you're supposed to do, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what you want from your workers, is that you have that level of trust. And when, especially when something doesn't go quite right.
Absolutely. And that's a good point. That brings up a good example. We don't penalize our guys for making a mistake and calling it to our attention. The penalty, if it ever comes, will come from doing the wrong thing and not telling us about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I've never ever asked anyone to pay for the mistake. I ask them to be honest about the mistake. Let's make sure the client is taken care of. If we damage something, we're going to fix it. And if you tell me about it, there's no penalty. There's no harm. But don't hide it. It doesn't help any of us. And it's not doing the right thing. Right. Doing the right thing is telling me, hey, I screwed up, Scott. What do we do? And I say, we fix it. And you know, let's not let it happen again. Let's be more careful. Let's make sure that's something we've got a policy and procedure in place not to have that happen again. And so, yeah, trusting our people and empowering our people, I think that's the best thing that we do.
So I love what you're doing there, because so many companies put effort into creating values and you end up with like six values or whatever.
Right.
But if you ask somebody, what are your six values? I don't know. Right. You're lucky if you identify one of them. But you've like simplified this to like just do the right thing and probably everything else falls in line. You said that in the beginning. That's the core. If you do this, everything else will probably work out. So
it does. And we have a list, I think, of five things that all basically echo in a different sentence.
Right.
Do the right thing. You can just bring it down and candidly say, that's what it is.
It's so important, I think, when you do that. I have a company I'm working with that we landed on speed, simplicity, and safety, like the three things.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how often that comes up. Like, we're going to do something. All right. Is that the simple way of doing it? Or are we getting all carried away over here? So it always just reminds us, you know, to be able to have that. So when you make it really simple, you know, things like values or your mission statement, whatever, having some three paragraph thing, no one's ever going to remember that. So that's key, Scott. That is definitely good job there for sure. You. I know you're very involved. You're on some boards. You're involved with the community. Maybe talk about that a little bit, because the whole idea of this podcast is we're talking to business leaders that are leading beyond profit, doing, you know, good things in their business, good things in the community. So maybe share a little bit what you do and why you do it.
Sure. Well, I've been fortunate. I feel fortunate to have a good life here in San Diego. And so I've always felt that it was necessary for us to give back. And so I do that in a lot. I've served on a lot of different committees and boards, and I still do, and I probably always will. There's a joke around my hometown is Rancho Bernardo, And so there's a joke around there, ask Scott, he'll never say no. And with Cindy, my significant other, she always says, you got to stop putting your hand up. And I say, I can't help it. It's just part of my nature. But yeah, so I've been involved in, you're probably familiar with the San Diego Community Foundation. Well, Ranch Bernardo has a branch, a Ranch Bernardo Community Foundation. And I served on that board for 9 years and in capacity of leadership as well. I'm proud to say that my son, Alex, when I termed out after 9 years, he stepped in and he's on that board.
Got the legacy role here.
Exactly. And it's a great organization because it gives back to, we just had our Thanksgiving luncheon a week before Thanksgiving and gave out over $100,000 to local community nonprofit groups that do good in the community. And so I spend time raising money for those efforts as well. I was involved with the Rancho Bernardo Business Association, which I think we were active for 15 years, served as president for over six. And we gave back to the business community as well. A lot of opportunities for mentoring and networking and training and best practices and things like that. My most favorite community involvement is a thing that we started in Rancho Bernardo again, and it's called Hats Off to Volunteers. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's every community should have one. Anyone listening out there, you should do it in your community.
There you go.
Call me
here first.
Call me and I'll tell you how to do it. But at any rate, what we do is we have a list of approximately 60 nonprofit volunteer organizations in our community that do good work. And it could be anything from working with kids at school to community homeowners associations to business associations to just 10 people who got together and do nice things for the elderly. And with that list of approximately, I think there's 65, I may have misspoke there, we ask each one of those organizations to provide us with an outstanding volunteer for this past year. And then we honor them with a celebration at the Ranch Bernardo Performing Arts Center each year. I think this year it's going to be March 21st. And we provide them with a kind of a cool hat, little band that says Outstanding Volunteer on it, bring them across the stage, and we have a number of our local dignitaries from state assembly members to congress people to our city council people, provide them with a certificate and a plaque, do some photos, and get them some publicity.
Oh, nice.
And basically what I say to people is it's a way to say thank you to people who don't get said thank you to enough. And so that's my absolute favorite. I've been with Marty Judge. I've been the chairman of that now, I think, for maybe 8 years and been involved with it even longer than that.
Nice.
So,
well, my wife runs a community development organization in Pacific Beach. So I get the whole idea of how do you bring community together and how do you honor the community, right?
It's hard.
From the businesses to the individuals to show up, all these kinds of good things. It's like, yeah, it's hard. You can say thank you a lot, but, you know, how do you really put a spotlight on it and say, you know, we truly, truly, you know, appreciate what you're doing out here.
And it's so that's something you might want to get involved with.
Love it. BBB Torch Awards. Yeah. I know you're very excited about winning that. You won 50 awards this year, but I know you're very excited about that one. What did that mean to you? And well, is that something you've been pursuing for a period of time? Or
it was pretty cool. We are many times because we're an active business and we do advertising and marketing. People are somewhat aware of our niche as a landscape installer. And so we're always being nominated for best of or best of this or best of that in landscaping in different organizations, magazines, newspapers, et cetera. And that fills us with pride. But with this particular award for the Torch Awards, I was mildly aware of it because I've been a BBB member for 20 years, but I really didn't realize the significance of it, and I didn't even know how someone was nominated. It turns out, I don't know if I should. Anyway, it turns out an anonymous person nominated us, and I found out later on it they may have been somebody that was actually involved with the BBB that had heard good things about us.
That's all right. However you get in the door, it's good.
And so, but we didn't realize it. So when the suggestion came to us whether we'd like to apply and fill it out, I said, well, that's pretty cool. Well, yeah. So let's go through the process. What surprised me is the extensiveness of the process. I mean, the written application, the information we had to put out, the referrals that we got from clients and community leaders and other business people, it was quite extensive. I don't think I'd ever been through a vetting process.
Interviews as well, right?
Don't you have to come and then interview? They brought us in for a panel of interviews where you're staring at all these business people and they're asking you questions. And so, yeah, it was slightly intimidating.
We heard good things, now prove it.
Yeah, exactly. And so going through that whole process, gave us a real sense of the seriousness that BBB takes this. And when we heard the numbers, we were like blown back. 15,000 members, 12 to 1,400 people possibly being looked at. And then when we heard that we were down to the 24 finalists, we were just like beaming with pride. And we thought that was pretty much the deal. And so when Alex and I went to the award ceremony, we miscalculated the enormity of that award ceremony. We thought there was going to be probably five tables and a couple of guys.
That's a big deal.
And we got there and we went, whoa, okay. And it was so professionally done. It was just, it was really cool. It's kind of like a stage production. We had a stage manager, took us back, showed us where to stand. X is here. It was like something we had never been involved
with. Academy Awards or something.
Yeah, right. It was like,
it's well done. Yeah, for sure.
Really well done, well professionally done. And so when we were sitting there at the table with other guests and honorees, we were going, this is really pretty special. They brought us up with all the other 24 finalists. We got some cool pictures. We got to talk with the others and find out about their businesses while we were doing it. And that was really neat. It was a great networking event. But when they called our name for our category as the winners, we both looked at each other and went, okay.
Do I have a speech ready here?
I had a thing that said, I wrote basically, well, I'm usually well prepared. Here I wrote down, well, thank you very much. And I'm going, oh, okay, what do I say? Anyway, I went up.
You did good because
I went up and I babbled. I went up and I babbled for a little while. But anyway, I feel like it's a team effort. Certainly, Alex and I, as leaders of the company, set the stage for how people are treated and how we feel. But our team is unbelievable. And everybody took the pride. We shared that whole honor with everybody in our organization, and it's deserved because they do the hard work.
That was kind of my introduction to the BBB. I've heard about the BBB my whole life. I just never had a lot of interaction or any reason to, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And then I got connected here because of the podcast room. So yeah. I still didn't really know much about the BBB.
Great room.
Then I got invited to the Torch Awards that year, and I went and I'm sitting there. So I'm part of conscious capitalism. I mean, this whole idea of the purposeful businesses and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, man, if I was blindfolded, I would have thought I was at some conscious capitalism event, right? So I need to know more about these guys. And we got Matt in here, and it's been a kumbaya ever since. So that's I love the BB.
That's great. I do
such
too.
A great organization.
I do too. It sets a standard, and you really, everybody needs to have a standard with which to live up to. And I think the BBB does it better than anyone I've ever come across.
Yeah, it's an awesome organization.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to put a little bit of a bow on this, Scott, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
This has been 5 minutes? Wow, cool.
Yeah, time flies. That's awesome. I always like to end with, what's the big idea? If people didn't remember anything else from this conversation we had, what's like the one thing you really want them to remember?
If you can dream a perfect landscape, Greenway can build it for you. And we'd love that opportunity.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I got to say, it makes a difference because when I lived up in Orange County, where we did our backyard, and it became a whole nother place to be.
It really does.
It went from some bad grass and some whatevers to really a place to hang out and be proud of as well. So call Greenway. They can take care of you.
Thank you.
Well, Scott, that's it. I appreciate you coming in. Appreciate the amazing work you're doing in our community, both the volunteering as well as the environmental things that you're doing. So it's all good work. So really appreciate that. We're the winner of the BBB Torch Awards for sure. And that's our show for the day. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.